Ashton Productions Incorporated presents a Mirisch Company picture. Marilyn Monroe. Tony Curtis. Jack Lemmon. In Some Like It Hot. Co-starring George Raft, Pat O'Brien, Joe E. Brown, Nehemiah Persoff. With Joan Shawley, Billy Gray, George E. Stone, Dave Barry, Mike Mazurki, Harry Wilson, Beverly Wills, Barbara Drew, Edward G. Robinson Jr. Screenplay by Billy Wilder and I.A.L. Diamond. Suggested by a story by R. Thurman and M. Logan. Director of Photography, Charles Lang Jr., A.S.C. Associate Producers, Doane Harrison, I.A.L. Diamond. Background score, Adolf Deutsch. Art Director, Ted Howarth. Set Director, Edward G. Boyle. Property, Tom Plouse. Special Effects, Milt Rice. Film Editor, Arthur P. Schmidt, A.C.E. Production Manager, Alan K. Wood. Assistant Director, Sam Nelson. Wardrobe, Bert Henriksen. Music Editor, Eve Newman. Sound, Fred Lau. Produced and directed by Billy Wilder. Along a city street on a wet night crawls a 1920s hearse, a big car with a long bonnet and high square bodywork. Inside sit two lugubrious men facing each other over the flowers on a coffin. One has a lumpy face and a big nose, the other deeply furrowed cheeks. They exchange glances with the driver and front seat passenger. All four are wearing black ties, wing collars and bowler hats. The two in the back raise the ruched drape over the small square rear window and peer out. Big Nose glances at the front passenger, who in turn nods at the driver. The hearse accelerates. Policemen are hanging out of the doors of the pursuing car, firing revolvers. A bullet smashes through the rear window and windscreen of the fleeing hearse. Big Nose and his companion pull sawn-off shotguns from a hidden compartment in the roof lining and shoot back at the cops. Bullet holes appear in the bodywork of the hearse as it swings past a lorry, then cuts in front of it down a side street. The police car sways wildly round the corner, and a shot from the hearse smashes one of its headlights, making it swerve, skid, and slide sideways into a chain-link fence, coming to a halt, facing backwards. The cops jump out, still shooting, as the hearse skids, clipping a tiny car and spinning it round. Inside the hearse, Big Nose and his friend cast sad and worried eyes over the bullet-riddled coffin, each hole leaking a stream of liquid. Their gloved hands lovingly raise the lid to reveal rows of neatly stacked whiskey bottles, many broken. Chicago, 1929. The hearse turns a corner beside Mozzarella's funeral parlor. It stops in a dark side street. The men respectfully slide the coffin out of the hearse and carry it through a side entrance, which has been opened by a dapper, elegantly dressed man wearing white spats and holding his hat over his heart. As the coffin disappears inside, the man glances surreptitiously up and down the street, replaces his hat on his head, and slams the door of the hearse. He follows the coffin inside and slides shut a heavy metal security gate behind him. Another car draws up. Seven uniformed cops climb out and move to the corner of the street. A car with police written on the door pulls up. A cop gets out and stares towards the lighted window of the funeral parlor. A tall man in a heavy overcoat and bowler hat steps out of the car and looks at a smaller man with a pencil moustache and a toothpick in his mouth, who follows him.
All right, Charlie. At the joint?
Yes, sir.
Who runs it?
I already told you.
Refresh my memory.
Spats Colombo.
That's very refreshing. What's the password?
I come to Grandma's funeral. Here's your admission card.
Thanks, Charlie.
Now, if you want a ringside table, just tell them that you're one of the pallbearers.
Okay, Charlie.
We're all set. When's the kickoff?
Look, Chief, I better blow, because if Colombo sees me, it's going to be goodbye, Charlie.
Goodbye, Charlie.
Charlie goes. The tall man turns to a uniformed cop.
Give me 5 minutes. And hit him with everything you got.
You betcha.
They synchronize watches. The tall man puts on a black armband and crosses the wet street. Inside the parlor, an old man's playing the organ. A burly man, flicking a feather duster over a mirror, steps to the side of the cop as he enters. A small man in horn-rimmed glasses steps forward.
Good evening, sir. I'm Mr. Mozzarella. What can I do for you?
I come to the old lady's funeral.
I don't believe I've ever seen you at our services before.
That's because I've been on the wagon.
Please.
Where are they having the wake? I'm supposed to be one of the pallbearers.
Show the gentleman into the chapel. Pew number 3.
Yes, Mr. Mozzarella. This way, sir.
The burly man leads him to the back of the parlor and gestures. The cop looks mystified. The organist pulls out a stop and a hidden door slides open. The cop steps through the door. He hesitates in the smoky atmosphere, holding his hat and gazing around.
Well, if you gotta go, that's the way to do it.
Follow me.
Chorus girls in fishnet tights, basques and feather headdresses are dancing the Charleston in front of the band, while white-coated waiters bustle about the crowded room. The cop is seated at a table right in front of the girls, and a waiter leans over him.
What'll it be, sir?
Booze.
Sorry, sir, we only serve coffee.
Coffee?
Scotch coffee, Canadian coffee, sour mash coffee.
Scotch, I get a demitasse, soda on the side. Wait a minute. Haven't you got another pew not so close to the band? How about that one over there?
Sorry, sir, but that's reserved for members of the immediate family.
The waiter winks heavily. The door opens and the dapper man in spats enters, with Big Nose and his associates. A businessman drunkenly waving his coffee cup in time to the music spills some.
Oops.
The dapper man looks down. One of his immaculate white spats is stained. He nods coldly at his henchmen to drag the businessman away.
Hey, I want another cup of coffee!
I want another cup of coffee!
The dapper man sits at the reserve table, flips the display handkerchief from the top pocket of one of his men, and carefully dabs the stained spat. The cop glances at his watch as the waiter arrives with a coffee cup.
Better bring a check in case the joint is raided.
Who's gonna raid a funeral?
Some people got no respect for the dead.
He sips from his coffee cup, chokes, splutters, and pushes cup and saucer away. On the bandstand, the double bass player, square-faced with short dark hair, watches the dancers with a slight smile. The tenor sax player beside him with longer, wavy black hair watches one of the girls with a twinkle in his eyes as she skips past, waving at him. His eyes stay on her as the bass player leans towards him.
Say, Joe, tonight's the night, isn't it?
I'll say.
Well, no, tonight's the night we get paid. That's good.
Why?
Oh, I reckon fiddling among my back teeth. I gotta see a dentist tomorrow.
Dennis, we've been out of work for 4 months. You want to blow your first week's pay on your teeth?
Well, it's just a filling. I have to be gold.
How can you be so selfish? We owe back rent. We're in for $89 to Moe's Delicatessen. Three Chinese lawyers are suing us because that check bounced at the laundry. We borrowed money from every girl in the line.
Well, you're right.
Well, of course I'm
First thing tomorrow, we'll pay everybody a little something on account, huh?
Oh, no, we don't.
We don't?
No, first thing tomorrow, we go out to the dog track and put the whole bundle on Greased Lightning.
Greased Lightning? You're gonna bet my money on a dog?
He's a shoo-in. I got it from Max the waiter. His brother-in-law is the electrician. The wise the rabbit.
What are you giving me with a rabbit?
Look at the odds. He's 10-1 tomorrow. We'll pay everybody.
Suppose he loses.
What are you worried about? This job is gonna last a long time.
Well, suppose it doesn't.
Jerry boy, why do you have to paint everything so black?
Oh.
Suppose you got hit by a truck. Suppose the stock market crashes. Suppose Mary Pickford divorces Douglas Fairbanks.
Suppose the Dodgers leave Brooklyn. Joe?
Suppose Lake Michigan overflows.
Well, don't look now, but the whole town is underwater.
Joe, the sax player, follows Jerry's eyes. The cop is piercing the end of his cigar with the pin of his police department badge. Instantly, Joe opens his sax case and stows his instrument, while Jerry pulls the canvas cover over his bass. The cop is staring at his watch.
4, 3, 2, 1.
An axe smashes through a panel in the door. Respectably dressed customers leap to their feet. The dancing girls scurry away, and the plainclothes cop jumps onto the stage.
All right, everybody! This is a raid! I'm a federal agent! You're all under arrest!
I want another cup of coffee!
Cops shove the drunken businessman back inside as Joe and Jerry, instruments held above their heads, slip behind two of the cops and through a backstage exit. The federal agent walks over to the dapper man's table.
Services are over. Let's go.
Go where?
A little country club. We run for retired bootleggers. I'm putting your name up for membership.
I don't join nothing.
Oh, you like it there. I'll get the prison tailor to fit you with a pair of special spats. Striped.
Big joke. What's the rap this time?
Embalming people with coffee. 86 proof.
Me? I'm just a customer here.
Oh, come on, Spats. We know you own the joint. Mozzarella's just fronting for you.
Mozzarella? Never heard of him.
We got different information.
From who? Toothpick Charlie, maybe?
Toothpick Charlie? Never heard of him.
He takes a glass from Spatz's hand and sniffs it.
Buttermilk.
Big Nose looks aggrieved.
You're smart to drink your own stuff, huh? Come on your feet.
You're just wasting the taxpayers' money.
Call your lawyer if you want it.
These are my lawyers. All Harvard men.
The four big men stand as the Fed nods to the waiting police.